Welcome to the East Coast Offense Podcast, Week 5, Handicapping Edition. As usual, I am joined by Yahoo Sports, Dalton Del Don. And there's a lot of blame to go around this week, Dalton. You really did a terrible job. I mean, there's not only did you force it in on Thursday and without even consulting me on a couple of these picks, both of which were losers. Actually, one of which was a loser that we would never have made had you not forced it in on Thursday. One of which was a push that we were lucky to get, and it was a bad line that I would never have agreed to. And then one of which you just took it upon yourself to make a terrible bet. So it was a really – what did we go, 1-3-1? Was that our record this week?
Yeah, not good. But, I mean, it's not like I didn't – I attempted to call you. God knows what you were doing. You wouldn't answer your phone.
I know, but my phone – here's the thing you got to understand about me is the phone is kind of – I got to turn the volume off at night. I got to turn the volume off during the radio show. The volume's always off, okay? And then because of that, I don't always bring it around all the time either. I'm not a guy who's texting all the time. Email. I'm always accessible on email. All you could have done – if you just emailed me, I would have gotten back to you.
All right. No, I mean, admittedly, it was just a really bad situation because my proxy gave us like 10 minutes, and I knew you wanted the Thursday night game, and – unfortunately, the Ravens spread was -3 instead of -2.5, and obviously it looks terrible getting locked in on the Colts -9 when Luck ended up not playing. I mean, that was just – I mean, that's just bad. I mean, we lost that before the game even started. And I admit I did go to bat for the Broncos, but I also really wanted the Packers, and you totally nullified that. That was my best bet on this podcast last week, and you disallowed that. So that would at least be my defense on that one. And we both agreed on the Giants. That one won, was our own lone winner. And the Cardinals was just kind of a fluky game.
You know, I realize I just screwed up. And I don't want to start all over again because I thought, you know, the blame that's going back and forth is pretty – I think it's healthy. It's good to get this out of our systems. And the public has a right to know about it. But this podcast is brought to you by Harrys.com. They make razors and shaving products, among other things, and we will talk more about that in the middle of the podcast, but you can check out them at harrys.com, and I hope that's sufficient because I do think that, you know, I could tell in your voice your feelings are hurt, obviously, because you're being blamed, but you really do deserve most of the blame. I think we need to make a rule that there's just no Thursday, unless we feel just incredibly great about the Thursday game, like it's our best bet of the week. You know, and we both agreed there's just no point in getting those picks in on Thursday. The fact that we locked in picks before we knew whether Andrew Luck would play is just ridiculous.
Yeah, because you have to. That's the rule of Super Contest. You have to submit all five at once. That shouldn't be a problem because our proxy actually said that he almost always going to go on Friday, and we can't do the Thursday game. So that was just bad luck that he happened. He was still going to give us the option to do it Friday, but he gave us the option for that Thursday, and I made an executive decision that clearly was wrong in hindsight. But I agree with you in principle. Regardless of their proxy's availability, let's just ignore the Thursday night game and get as much information as possible for Friday night.
That's right. That's right. And the other thing I would say is, first off, I emailed you. I never heard back. Didn't we have some side bets on baseball leagues this year? We must have had some side bets.
I have to look. I wrote stuff down. I'm not sure. I'm really impressed with how you finished in friends and family. I was dominating that league. I was up like 15 points for the first 4 months, and I blame Scott Pianowski because he emailed me saying what a juggernaut I put together, and he can't foresee in any way I lose, and I end up finishing fifth, just a bunch of injuries. That happens, but it's pretty funny how I dropped so far in there, and then you finished above me. You didn't win, but congratulations. I will look to see if we made any wagers on that. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure we did 100, but just check. I couldn't find it in my records. And okay. You know what makes me so enraged? Like Derek Cardi won money off me last year, because we bet on Jurickson Profar, who I drafted in labor. And, of course, he got hurt. He never played. So he won, which we should have had some out, obviously, but we didn't. So I sent him $90, okay? And then this year, I was in 9 leagues, okay? I took first in 4. I took second in 3, one of which I took 12th overall in the main event, which first 11 spots pay, by the way. But still, it was a good year. And I took 3rd in 1, which was the FSTA, which I made an error on the first-come, first-serve rule. I would have almost certainly won that league had I been able to make an acquisition after July, still finished 3rd, and I finished 6th in labor. The one bet I made with Cardi, actually I made 2 bets. He won $20 on Prince. I had Prince Fielder. He had Charlie Blackman. I'm not even going to look it up. I'm pretty sure Blackman was more valuable. And then the other bet was our labor finish. He finished in 5th, and I finished in 6th. And that was my only league. I finished worse than 3rd. And there were only 2 leagues in which I finished worse than 2nd. and yet I'm going to have to send that dude some money. That's just infuriating.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty good baseball year.
It was my best ever, and it'll never happen again, and I'm not sure I should even play next year as a result. There's no point. It was so much work. I'm so relieved it's over, and I'm only going to do worse next year. I just don't even know why I would play. Every Sunday was a beautiful day out. I sat in my goddamn house, and I went through these free agent lists with these slow-ass commish service systems and looked down and tried to get guys from the way. You know, it was just a miserable, horrible existence.
Well, if that's any different than your normal life?
Yes, absolutely. I do things. You know, I don't do that much, but I do. I don't sit around looking through a list. All right, let's get on to these picks. I mean, look, 1-3, and we're on the ropes, dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We really need to turn it.
We need to go, like, I think if we go 15-0, we'll be okay for the next 3 weeks.
All right. Yeah, I mean, just for no other reason than to stay, you know, to have something to root for the second half. I don't want to already be done for after 5 or 6 weeks. I mean, let's get it together. It's actually at least two that I feel strongly about that jumped out immediately to me on this slate. Okay. that I'll go to bat. And I can't say that every week, but there's at least two that I really feel strongly about.
Okay, I don't love this slate, but I like it better than last week. And as much as, you know, it would be entertaining if we suck and we have to, like, complain to each other about, you know, whose fault it was, that's not worth $1,500. You know what I mean? Like, if it was like $100, that'd be money well spent. But it's not $1,500. I want to get some money back. You know?
Yeah, ideally, that was the plan. Yes.
Okay. All right. So let's no more messing around. Okay. So let's start.
Just giving these guys a handicap, dude. We're just giving them a handy. We'll get it. We'll start show our true colors moving forward.
That's right. All right. So Indy, Tennessee is not on the board yet. I mean, it looks like Luck's playing, and I'm just going to take Indy reflexively. I don't care if the line's 50. I'm just going to take him, but it doesn't matter. We can't take that now. So we'll skip that. And you have any line for that whatsoever?
No, I haven't found it. I would guess off the top of my head, I don't know, Colts -3.
At Houston?
What would you think?
Yeah, with Luck. Yeah, 2.5. I don't know, 2.5 maybe. But yeah, something around there.
But I haven't seen a line whatsoever. No.
And you know what? Actually, Houston, I kind of like to buy low. But you know what's so funny? I just got to make a little aside. Everyone's like, oh, you know, it's so stupid how a quarterback has to win the MVP every year. J.J. Watt is the greatest defensive player ever. It's like, if he's so good, if he's the best defensive lineman ever, and the other team scored 42 on them, like, it just shows you really do have to pick a quarterback pretty much. I mean, he's just like, why is this team so bad if he's so good?
Well, that was my argument back in the day with you about Bradford versus – they actually scored 48 points. Bradford versus – Ndamukong Suh, and I said, I have no opinion of Sam Bradford. I don't watch college football. I have no opinion. The point being, just if you have the number one pick and there's a possible franchise quarterback, that's why I would go.
You were wrong. You obviously lost that argument because I was just saying you don't just elevate any old dude who happens to be the best that year and take him over sort of a sure thing Pro Bowl defensive player. Because
yeah, I mean, I could see arguments on both sides. Obviously, Sue's been a better pro. There's no question about that. Although right now he's locked in a huge contract and not doing so.
Well, they shouldn't have paid him. They didn't have to pay him. They should have, you know.
But your point rings true with Watt. Watt is awesome and clearly the best defensive player over the past 5 years. But it's obvious that position
doesn't matter.
Far. Yeah.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you know, every year the Packers are good. Okay, so let's get on to some of these picks. So Indy, we're skipping. So Tampa is laying 3. They're at home against Jacksonville. It's Jacksonville +3 at Tampa. I don't feel strongly, but I do have a side here. What is your side?
I don't feel strongly either. For the most part this season on these coin flips, it's been the requisite 3-point home team I've been going with. But I'm actually going to go opposite here because I could see either team winning. Jameis Winston just looks so bad. Bortles has been okay, a decent defense there. I could see anything happening here, so I might as well take the points. I don't feel great about this game, though.
I like Tampa. I think Jacksonville is truly a doormat, and Winston has been very erratic and has made some bad decisions and played poorly. But Bortles is like, he's Blaine Gabbert. I mean, we're almost positive now that Bortles is bad, right? I mean, Bortles is like, the sample's big enough on him. Right?
He's surprisingly been competent fantasy-wise. I wouldn't count on that going forward, but he's been running a little bit. And Allen Hurns, Allen Robinson, not terrible. But, I don't feel strongly about this one. Maybe Tampa Bay rights the ship. I don't know. I mean,
they're not going to right the ship, but they're going to just beat the
Well, not be, not be, you know, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Hardly going to right the ship. All right. What about Buffalo is in Tennessee. They're laying 2.5 now. I think that was 3. Who do you like there?
again, one I don't feel strongly about them. I'm just going to – they're missing – Buffalo's missing Sammy Watkins, probably Carlos Williams. I don't like to overrate that, but I think Tyrod Taylor –
Is Watkins definitely out this week?
Not definitely, but I would bet. I would say greater than 50% chance he sits out another week. Tyrod Taylor, I think, is playing a little banged up with an ankle and maybe some more film on him. He might start struggling a little bit. I just love Mariota, and I think he's the real deal coming out of a bye. Again, I'll just go with the home team here getting the points.
Yeah, I kind of like Buffalo. I mean, the G-men put the screws to them, but I think they're still okay. Their D is good. And Tennessee, I mean, Ken Wisenhunt is their coach. You know, I don't know. I just think Buffalo is like an 8-8-ish team, and that's good enough in Tennessee.
Yeah, I could see it. I really don't. I mean, I was
– Whatever. Okay, I'm not strong on it. I don't really love laying the wood with Buffalo. All right, you got Baltimore is hosting Cleveland, and that line is now 6.5. It opened at 7.
I'm going to take the underdog here. You know, so here's the thing. I think you mentioned this a little bit too, but I was thinking the same thing. Clearly, Cleveland is being ridiculous and not seeing what they have in Johnny Manziel because they should be playing for the next 5 years and seeing what they have. But, you know, it's not necessarily the case that that doesn't mean that if my life depended on it, I wouldn't want Josh McCown starting this week if my life depended on the Browns winning. Like, I think he actually probably does give them the best chance right now. And he's targeting Travis Benjamin a lot and kind of making some plays. And Baltimore secondary has been terrible. So, again, it's probably a mistake long term, but this coaching staff is worried more about tomorrow than next year. And I think they'll cover here. Maybe they'll take a backdoor cover. Baltimore is typically better at home, but this team has just been highly unimpressive. A divisional game, so I'm going to take the points.
Yeah, I think I'm taking Baltimore here, man. I mean, I'm taking a lot of favorites, which hasn't worked out well for me so far this year. But I just think Baltimore at home is a good team. I know they haven't played especially well. They did get it done on the road in Pittsburgh. They're really thin at wide receiver. I mean,
so thin. I mean, it might be the worst in the NFL.
I mean, of course they're the worst. Is there any? I mean, there's no one can even rival them. They don't have. They were the worst when they had Steve Smith, and Steve Smith's not playing. And
yeah, I don't know. You must be a Travis Benjamin fan on the other side. On the other side, the same game isn't exactly
yeah,
loaded.
I mean, that, right. It's sort of like the – but at least those guys have played. I mean, you got Kamar Aiken. You got Chris Givens, who they just signed, who's like a speed guy who had some upside at one point. I don't know. I'm not strong on this either, but I just feel like – I mean, come on. This is just one of those games where Baltimore –
I can see a big game from Forsett.
Yeah, Forsett sucks, though. I mean, he their offensive line did play better in Pittsburgh, though. And Cleveland's run D is pretty bad. I think Baltimore's going to win. There'll be a pick six here. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to roll. All right, so we're skipping all those. No agreement. How about Washington plus 7.5 in Atlanta?
I'm, again, going to take the points here. I'm impressed with Atlanta. I love the coaching upgrade. It's been night and day. Their offense is really rolling. You know, Washington, I believe, has allowed the fewest fantasy points to opposing running backs. So Devontae Freeman, the first running back since the merger to rush for 3 touchdowns during each of his first 2 starts in the NFL. He's going to take a step back this week. Obviously, he can't continue that regardless. Should be a close game.
Bold call.
I mean, thank you. The Falcons are very good, and I expect them to fully win this game. But 7.5. Washington's kind of feisty. I could see a backdoor cover.
Yeah, I hate Washington, but I think you got to buy, you know, sort of sell high in Atlanta at this point. I mean, they're not as good as their record. They were trailing by double digits in, like, second half of 3 games before last week, and I would take the points also with Washington. Perhaps that will be one of our games. All right, let's move on. Chicago plus 9.5 at KC. I want to hear what you think about this game because I did a video today for TYT, and we had to pick kind of quickly, like Tuesday morning. I warned them. I said, these are really preliminary. But I had a take on this game. This is one of the games I picked.
Oh, man. I actually probably – this is one of the two that I liked the least. I originally had a Chicago Bears feel. You know, Jay Cutler's back. Maybe Alshon Jeffrey's back. They can put up some points possibly. Kansas City has been giving up some yardage and points. But then again, their last two games have been in Green Bay, in Cincinnati. Let's not forget this is a pretty good team. Going back home, I would feel confident using them in Survivor, teasing this down below 3. So whenever I think that, then I feel like they can cover a double-digit type spread. So I'm going to change my original instinct. I'm guessing most people would, you know, coming off the Bears win and them getting healthier, and this Chiefs team's looked really bad getting blown out back-to-back weeks. Seems like a contrarian play. So I would lay the wood with the Chiefs.
That was where I came out too. And Ben Mankiewicz, who's the guy who co-hosts, and he bets a lot. He knows what he's talking about. He liked Chicago, and we disagreed. But I was sort of on the fence. But I think KC is the play. This line is too big.
Right.
It's too much. It's weird. Why is this line so big? Because it's in Arrowhead. Chicago got their win out of the way. Chicago's not going anywhere this year. I think they get worked in KC.
Green Bay and in Cincy might be the two toughest, like, you know, two of the three or
and
four.
And they played against Denver the week before.
Right,
right. They've had tough, you know, they're going to be, you know, obviously it's a good buy low. Now, look, the line, you're not getting any value on this line. It's not like you're buying low and they're favored by six. That would be a good buy low. You got to lay 9.5. That's not a value. But I just kind of feel like, I don't know, it doesn't really matter. It's just one of these games where they're going to come and blow them out.
Yeah, I think their pass rush gets to Chicago.
Yeah. Anyway, I mean, it's a little bit dangerous when you're whatever the hell I am, 25 and 38 or whatever the hell I am, which is bad, to start like going on these hunchy, you know, oh, the flow of the league, this is how it goes. You know, that's great when you're rolling to start, you know, getting the feel for how the league flows. But I'm going to stick with it. Okay. Confidence is not shaken. All right, let's do one more, and we'll take a little commercial break for a minute after that. But let's go with New Orleans plus, it's 4.5. I'm going to say 4.5 right now at Philly. Who do you like there?
Well, these are two frustrating teams, especially Philadelphia. Who knows what to make of them? But at home, this New Orleans team is just really unimpressive. Even the Sunday night win left a lot to be desired. Get them outdoors. I actually kind of have a fairly strong lean toward the Eagles, which you seem to pick every week, so it'll probably be the time you switch here. But, you know, 4.5 points isn't as big when you look at the over-under at 49. I could see them really, really rolling here. I mean, the Saints have allowed an NFL-high 9.8 yards per attempt, 7 passing scores, still searching for their first interception of the year. I could see the Eagles rolling here.
I like the Eagles, too. Bradford got it together in the second half. Now, we threw to a bunch of 38.
They scored 3 points or fewer in the first half of 3 of their 4 games this year. That's really weird. They've been one of the slowest starting teams in the league.
Well, I think part of the slow start for the season is that Bradford's new to the system and there's all these new guys there. It's not like Macklin, who had been there for a few years. Everybody's new. Everybody's trying to get acquainted. It's just not that easy in the NFL for everyone to get on the same page in real time against real defenses. I think it just takes a few games. And the second half last week, they put up a lot of points. They got it together. Now they're throwing to Riley Cooper and Miles Austin and Brent Celek, the three oldest guys in the league. But I think they connect with Jordan Matthews, Zach Ertz. I think this is where they get going against the soft D at home, week 5. I think Philly puts up 30+.
You want to consider that one?
Yeah, I like Philly. I've liked it from the beginning.
I kind of do too. Okay.
All right. Let's take a quick break. Harry's.com is sponsoring this podcast. They make razors. They make shaving cream. They make a bunch of shaving products. I checked out the stuff the other day. I shaved. It worked perfectly well. It's very nice. It's a hell of a lot cheaper than the razor blades that are ridiculously expensive that you get at the drugstore. And so say goodbye to choosing between expensive brands or cheap disposables. Say hello to Harry's. High-quality blades at a price you'll love. Go to Harry's.com right now. Enter the code LIS. At checkout to get $5 off your first purchase. Get a month's worth of shaving for just $10 with the code LISS, L-I-S-S, at checkout. That's harrys.com, code LISS. All right. Dalton, you don't buy those expensive razors, do you?
I do, but you're tempting me to make a change because they're so overpriced. They're just highway robbery. So I should make a change because it's probably the most inflated thing I do purchase, except maybe like alcohol at a bar or something. I can't imagine a bigger markup than these freaking razors. They're ridiculous. They're in lock and key, like someone's going to rob them in CVS. It's crazy.
I know. I mean, you should rob them. I mean, it's worth a lot. You could probably sell them on the black market for a lot of money. that's why they have them under lock and key. Yeah. No, I agree, man. It's out of control, the amount. It's weird because when you like get out of your parents' house when you're in your 20s, you get out of college and you're like, all right, I got to start paying for stuff myself. You know, you don't have an allowance. You've got to like pay for stuff yourself, and you don't really know what stuff costs entirely for everything. And you like go to buy razors, and you're like, "F that, man! That's crazy, right?"
Yeah, and it's like your face. You don't want to use like a cheap Bic either, you know. But what I tend to do is I get the expensive ones and just try to make it last as long as possible. You know, they tell you to switch it every whatever month or something, but those things last quite a bit.
Yeah, but then you scrape the hell out of your face. What I do is I'm a real man. I get a razor sharp machete, right? And I just shave with that.
I always wanted one time in my life. I do want to go to a barber shop and get like a legit, like hot blade shave.
Yeah, I'll do it for you. No problem, dude.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't think so.
Nothing. What could go wrong?
Not a chance.
Okay. So, especially if you lose a couple more of these weeks, then you definitely shouldn't do it because I'll be doing. I definitely take my opportunity to get some payback for this money.
Or conversely, if we win, you get twice the amount of money.
That's
if you
right. Me. That's right. There's just this disposal issue with the body, but that's small potatoes. There's people. RotoWire has people that can handle that. All right, Jeff Erickson is really expert at that. So all right, so yeah, you don't know. He fronts like he wouldn't. You know, you would never know. Okay, so St. Louis plus 9.5 at Green Bay, and I had trouble with this one. I wrote down like my answer to each one of these, and on that one I just wrote both teams. I don't really know. Do you have a lean here?
I have a lean, but it's ever so slight. Another one I don't really like so much. Interesting that Tavon Austin is suddenly fantasy worthy and looking like a real NFL wide receiver. This St. Louis team, they really play especially well inside their division, but going outdoors, the Packers at home are just so good. They're worth more than the normal three.
They're worth like 7.5.
Pretty much. Because, I mean, you look at it like this, you know, you go the 6 points the other way. Really, they'd only be three and a half point favorites in St. Louis. That seems a little bit low. Todd Gurley looks like a maniac. He's the man. I mean, he could go crazy. The Packers have allowed 4.8 yards per carry. But other than that, the Packers defense has actually quietly been kind of feisty lately. They've been getting to the quarterback and so, yeah, I think the Packers are going to win by double digits. I don't love it. But in Green Bay, I can't see going against them right now.
Yeah, that was one school of thought. The other one is what you said. They don't stop the run, and Todd Gurley's a monster. He should have scored a touchdown. He did the right thing football-wise. It was annoying fantasy-wise since I have him in places. But
we have him in legal leagues. You know, I bought him in that supplemental draft.
You're finally earning your keep there. We're 3-1, and I'm feeling better about it. You know, I went 9-0. In my fantasy football leagues this past weekend. I had 9 leagues, including that one. I went 9-0. It's hard to do.
That's really impressive. That's, yeah.
And I mean, my team sucked 2 weeks ago.
Even if you, like, could pick your best lineup, that wouldn't happen often. If you could pick, like, of all the players available, that'd be tough to do to go 9-0.
Yeah, I was 9-0. And the thing is, I was terrible for 2 weeks. But when you have teams full of Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, I've got Arian Foster hasn't coming back yet, and they start, you know, Devonta Freeman, who didn't do anything for 2 weeks, and they all go off. Like, you just – it's crazy. I was like, oh, I screwed it up this year. It's going to be miserable. Now I'm happy again. The only thing that's bad is this, is the spread – is the handicapping. I got to turn this around. There's never –
Yeah, well, I also added – you know, you always give me – you give me a hard time, so I got to you know, counter it sometimes. I also picked up Packers D in legal leagues, and they went crazy against the Niners and Reuben Randall – touchdown connection, Eli Manning. So a couple moves I made. Thomas Rawls did not exactly pan out as I had hoped. But, you know, a down game from Julio Jones and T.Y. Hilton and Calvin, our big three. And we still won. We beat Cousin Sal, who won baseball and was 3-0 and was talking Yang on the email. We took him down. So right in this. I mean, I believe we are 3-1 in legal leagues.
Yeah. Cousin Sal's not saying shit after this week, is he?
No, I don't.
Did you receive an email from Cousin Sal? I didn't.
No, he's awfully quiet now.
He's not saying a goddamn thing.
No, he's not.
No. All right, you shut his ass up. All right, good. Because, you know, I didn't like it. You know, we finished 5.5, right? Tied for 5th. If we could have just got to 4th, it would have been better. But that's
acceptable. Oh, it was so crazy. It came down to the end, too. We obviously almost finished 6th. We could have finished 7th or 8th, and we could have finished 4th. So I'll take it. At first, I thought we finished 5th solely, and then I looked closer, and Will Leach tied us. But it came down to, like, fraction of the points on base percentage. I think I think A.J. Pollock went crazy on that final Sunday. It really helped us. But, yeah, I'm not totally happy. But one thing I will say is I do not owe you a stake in Las Vegas as we finish 1st in WHIP and ERA.
Yeah, good for you. And it's just hard to shake that leech. You know what I mean?
Well played. Yes. Yeah.
All right. So what are we doing in St. Louis, Green Bay? I mean, I would roll with Green Bay. I mean, I'm not going to take him as one of the five. I just could see Gurley cutting them up. And St. Louis is D. I mean, the Packers – they don't have a good offensive line, but Rodgers is just so smart and so cool back there that it's just really hard to do much.
His last 19 home games, 48 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. I feel like that's underrated. Like,
you can't just take him at home reflexively no matter what the line is, because there is a point at which that should flip.
Oh, of course. Of course.
And you know, maybe – I mean, the Rams are like league 8-8-ish, right? And like – so how much better – how big is the line when an 8-8 team goes to a – 13-3 team at home. I guess 9.5 is probably right. And then if you give them extra for the home field, maybe you take them. All right, I'll think about that one. We'll move on. Seattle plus 3. It's at 2.5 in a couple places. I would love it if it were 2.5 at Cincinnati. What's your lean here?
Okay, I usually don't look at the lines until Tuesday, but I happened to catch this line Monday night, and it opened at 1, and I thought this was the bet of the year. I thought it was the craziest the spread I saw, and I should have known better and locked it in then, because I looked today studying up for this podcast and getting ready for Stat Picks, and I'm like, ah, it's already to 3. Wow, that's such a big difference. Seattle has scored five offensive touchdowns this season, which is tied for the NFL low along with my 49ers. The Bengals have averaged 4 touchdowns per game. And now the Seattle, even when they're winning Super Bowls, was a very mediocre road team. They're traveling after a Monday night game to play a Bengals team. Maybe they're quote-unquote due for a letdown because they're undefeated. But this Bengals team looks legit to me. They can run, pass, and play defense, and it's really good at home. I really like the Bengals, if I haven't made that clear.
I'm picking up Cincinnati's D in some places. Seattle, if
he's on pace. Russell Wilson's on pace to take 72 sacks this year, which would be second to David Carr's record season.
Right, and if Russell Wilson were not the quarterback on this team, he would be dead. I mean, they would be dead. It was just an all-out assault on Monday night, and he made some amazing plays to get away and complete some passes. But if it were Peyton Manning, he would literally be dead. Like there was zero blocking whatsoever. And actually, what they should do is take Jimmy Graham, who they never target anyway, and trade him for a really good center. That's what they should actually do this year if someone would be willing to do that deal.
Maybe someone like Max Unger or something.
Yeah, if they could trade him to the Saints for Max Unger, I think that's a good fit for both teams.
Yeah, that was a lose-lose trade if there's ever been one.
Horrible. And so, you know, I hear you. And I think Seattle's getting, you know, the full 3 I mean, they're getting 3. I mean, they're getting not more than 3, not 7 or 8 or whatever it should be, just because it's Seattle. They've been to 2 Super Bowls in a row. It's, you know, they're magic. You know, I don't think this line is purely a reputation-based line. And Cincy should be favored by a lot more based on any rational viewing of what happened over the last few games.
Yeah, when it came out at 1, I was like, very rarely am I surprised at lines. Like, Vegas is very tight, you know, but that one, like, truly shocked. Doesn't mean I'm going to be right, but that one really
okay, so that's
out.
One of our picks. And I would love it if it goes to 2.5. I would just absolutely love it. But 3, I'm fine with 2.
Okay, yeah, we're definitely locked in on Cincy.
And we'll see. I mean,
that was one of my 2 that I really,
okay,
really.
So I was in on that, too. Okay. Good. And then Arizona, it opened at 3, but now it's 2.5/3. And I actually think it's 2.5. It's Arizona minus 2.5 at Detroit. What do you feel about that?
Yeah, this is one I really don't like. You tell me otherwise if you can.
I don't like it either. I'm probably Detroit-ish, but I mean, 3 I like it a lot better than 2.5.
Yeah, I know you've been on Detroit this year. I just think Arizona is really good, and that was a fluke game. I know they're better at home, but those fumbles, I paid close attention to that game because there were only 4 afternoon games, and we had them in the Super Contest, and I actually had them in a teaser as well. And there was back-to-back plays. It looked like the Cardinals clearly recovered a fumble, and in the very next play, I have not seen a worse premature momentum call where they said the forward progress stop after a clear fumble that was recovery since the Bull Ahmad Bradshaw in the NFC Championship game against the Niners when I was there in Candlestick. That one was about as bad I've ever seen, but this one was a close second. And I think Arizona just, whatever, those games happen and the Rams will do Rams things in the division. I'm not going to look too, you know, I understand Detroit's a wounded animal and they need a win, but this team's garbage. They can't run the ball. Their defense is okay. They can't pass the ball. And Arizona might be one of the 3 or 4 best teams in the NFL. So I'm not going to overthink this and I'm going to take the road favorite.
Yeah, I may switch to Arizona. I'm not sure. At 2.5, it's tough. At 3, I probably take Detroit. At 2.5, I may be swayed. The only thing is, I'm not sold on Arizona. You know, they won a lot of lucky games last year, and you know, this year, who they beat? They beat the Bears. They lost to the Rams. They beat who else did they beat? Some crappy teams.
49ers.
And who did they beat in Week 1?
Who did they beat? No, you're right. Their schedule hasn't been super at home against New Orleans.
Yeah, it's just garbage. They beat totally crappy teams.
they're 16-3, or is it 17-3? The last 19. So I think it's 16-3. The last 19 starts with Palmer. I mean, that has to mean something.
Why don't we just eliminate the first half of last year? And then remember, Palmer. That is a crazy thing to even recount, because some of that's from 2013, is it not?
Yeah, I guess it must be. You're right. If it's dating,
I mean, wasn't like Carlos Dansby on the team, and like a whole bunch of other guys that aren't even there now. I mean, it's just totally a totally different team.
Yeah, I kind of like
Rashad Mendenhall was on that team. Not that that helped them, but it's like, it's, you know, I don't know. I think Arizona may be a little hyped.
I think Detroit is terrible.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was a true miracle that they covered that spread on Monday night, and I've been getting my ass beat down. Did you see what happened with the Saints-Cowboys last week? How sick that was? Did you see what happened?
Yeah. I had the Cowboys and Steph Fitz.
There is a special place in handicapping hell for Zach Hawker missing that field goal, letting it go to overtime, and having C.J. Spiller get a touchdown to cover. That was disgusting.
It was absolutely disgusting.
I mean, seriously. And you know what? I was on Twitter saying there was a 0% chance Brandon Weeden executes this drive. And you do that because you're either right or you win, right? You sacrifice your reputation for what you want. And I got it. And even though I paid that price of people being like, you're an idiot, he did it, you know, whatever, I still lost.
Right. It was just cherry on top of this terrible day of kicking. I mean, so many misses. What was that? A 30-yarder indoors? I mean, give me a break.
It was gross.
Oh no, I had.
So the fact that Detroit covered for me last night was just, I have to say, like, I just felt it was just so good.
I was on the losing side of both, so there you go.
Yeah, and you deserve it.
Well, here's the thing, actually, just real quick, actually, because I had lost earlier in the day, and I have a moderate to severe gambling problem. I was one of those squares that does the late games just because, you know, the prime time. So I had a teaser, 7 points with the Saints +4 and then Seattle -2.5.
Right.
So I looked like I could middle both because I had the Dallas and the staff picks, right? So if Hawker makes that, I win both bets, you know,
right.
Dallas +4 and obviously the Saints. So then in overtime, I'm like, as long as there's not a touchdown, I still am fine. Yeah. So, you know, at least I had money on the line. I like to win staff picks, and I bet Stopa per every $20 per game. But in hindsight, it was fine. At least it was the Saints team to score the touchdown, and I actually got breaks in that Seattle game. Obviously, they call that batted ball, or Calvin reaches 6 more inches. I lose that one. But so my teaser did come through in a crazy fashion.
Some guy tweeted me when I was complaining about it that he had Calvin and Stafford in fantasy, and the Lions +400 on the money line. So when Calvin's reaching over the end zone, right, that's a 10-point play for him that probably wins his week. And he loses that and loses the +400.
Yeah, my survivor pool that I run that you exited when I did in week two, there were 4 teams left, and 3 of them lost Sunday, and 1 of them had Seattle. And he bet like $400 on the Detroit money line to hedge, you know, because he had Seattle. So that survivor's over.
You should start a second chance one. Okay, so let's move on. We got Arizona. We did Arizona. We got New England. I'm looking. It looks like 8.5 right now, but it's moving a bit. New England -8.5 in Dallas. And I think this is a very interesting line, right? Because I think I know who I like. Go ahead. You give your view.
This line's all over the place. Some casinos, it goes from 8 to 10, I see in Vegas.
And it opened at 7.5.
Right. So I don't like this one very much. I actually just reflexively hate betting against Belichick in New England. But I'm going to take the home dog here. This is a pretty severe line. I mean, this suggests that if it was in New England, it'd be 15.5 points. I mean, what were they favored at home against the Jags? 13.5? I mean, they did cover comfortably. But still, this is a pretty big line. I know Dallas's home field isn't great in that monstrous stadium, but I'm going to hold my nose and take the home dog.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas is so stout on the offensive line, but their D kind of sucks. I mean, it's been exposed.
They're getting Greg Hardy back for what it's worth. His 4-game suspension's up.
Yeah. I mean, karma-wise, that's not a good thing. But yeah, he's a good player. I get it, but their D kind of sucks. Maybe Hardy will be transformative, but Sean Lee had a concussion. I don't know if he's going to be back, and he's their best player on D, at least until Hardy shows up. And then, you know, Dallas' offense with Brandon Weeden, he's like okay as a backup, but this is just one of those things where you could see it getting out of hand. I don't know. I got to think about this. I circled New England when I first saw it. I just thought They just win games by like 27 points.
They might have their sights set on some records and finish 15-1. I mean, as long as they stay healthy. I mean, with Gronk and Edelman, this healthy team, coming out of a bye, too. What isn't Belichick like 100-0 or something when he has extra week to prepare? So I could be talked into that. I do not feel strongly about that one. I could see New England winning by 30.
I got a mild New England lane. I mean, I think Dallas is probably the smart bet. I mean, the public, I mean, forget about the public. You know, I don't care about that, but like, it just, this number is always going to be a little higher than it should be, right? It just has to be, right? Like the books, they don't want to get cleaned out. So they just have to make this number a little higher than it should be, right? I mean, just they have to.
Yep.
And so you know Dallas is the value, but, you know, value is sometimes bullshit.
Absolutely. Right?
Value is what, you know, ruined my labor team, you know, in baseball. Screw value. Okay. Denver at Oakland is Denver's -5.5 now. How do you feel about this one?
Not great. I love Denver's defense, obviously, and Oakland's offensive line is shaky. But, you know, the thing with Derek Carr is he actually doesn't really take sacks dating back to his rookie year, and he plays a lot better at home. And I kind of want to buy low off them losing in Chicago. I think it was the second time in 20 years they were favored on the road. And obviously disappointed, but who knew that Cutler was going to play? Peyton Manning... we backed Denver because of me in the Super Contest, and I watched that game intently, and he threw some ducks that were just really awful. The running game can't get going aside from the long Hillman run. I'm going to take the home dog.
Yeah, it's funny. I didn't choose. This is the two games I wasn't able to pick a side were St. Louis Green Bay and Oakland Denver. And I'll probably end up with Oakland, although Denver's D is very good. And Derek Carr, 5.9 YPA in Chicago. I mean, that's just terrible. And we're looking at this, you know, supposed breakout. And, you know, if he's more or less the guy he was last year, maybe just slightly better, then it's a disaster. And Oakland's D is bad. And Denver's D is good. And, man, but I guess Oakland's the play. I guess it is. I'd be surprised if we end up using this one, though.
No, I don't like that one either way. No.
Okay, here's one that I actually like. San Francisco +7 at the Giants. I think the Giants are going to crush them. And I know everybody probably does, and it's obvious, but it's not a big line. And Kaepernick, to me, is RG3. He's broken. He's always had problems with the play clock, and he burned timeouts for no reason. I mean, this was a coverable game that they had against Green Bay. I was watching a decent amount of it. And then on fourth down, he was under pressure, and he just took a sack to end the game, just basically just to lose any chance of covering. Or maybe it wasn't to end the game, but it was like their last chance in Green Bay territory to get to within 10. It's like, dude, just throw the ball up in the air. It's fourth down. If you take a sack, there's nothing that can come of it. Just toss it. And I just think this guy's not there. He's not mentally present during the game. And they're not good enough, you know, outside of him to cover for that. I mean, their defense isn't good. The rest of their players aren't that good. And so if Kaepernick's out to lunch and the team's bad, and they're going on the road, 7 is just too small.
This is the other game that I liked. I said I felt strong about 2. I'm trying to decide which one to make my best bet, the Bengals or, yes, of course, the Giants. This should be a boat race. The Niners are my team, and they just look hopeless. They're poorly coached, poorly prepared, terrible offensive line, especially the right side. Kaepernick reads, makes one progression, and the book's out. He, if his first read's not there, he starts to tuck it and run, and everyone is prepared for it. Carlos Hyde looks like a legitimate possible star in the future. He does look really, really good, but the Giants allow the fewest yards per carry in the NFL. So this is a poor setup in prime time across the country in New York. I actually like the Giants typically when they're underdogs, just like last week in Buffalo, then them having to be favored and cover a touchdown spread. But they could easily be 4-0. I don't understand why the spread's just 7. I think the books are so slow to recover from that week one showing that the Niners had. I think this should be double digits, and I would be surprised if it's not a blowout. So this is absolutely one of our Super Contest picks.
Yeah, this would have to be 10.5, 11 before I'd have to think about it. You know, I mean, I'd be like, oh, 11, I don't know. You know, like 7, it's just not even a thought.
No, this should be a blowout. And yeah, this was one of the easiest ones to, I mean, I just looked at that in 1 second. I'm like, really? Only 7?
Right. I mean, because San Francisco might be the worst team in the NFL.
Well,
I mean,
the thing is, they might really be the worst team in the NFL, but they're certainly going to look like it record-wise. If you look at their schedule, it is an absolute joke. I mean, they might be the worst team regardless, but they have the toughest schedule. So yeah. it's going to – I mean, they might not win another game. They might, you know, look good on that Monday night game I was at against the Vikings and then lose 15 straight games. That's certainly not out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah, well, you picked the right one to attend at least, so.
Yeah, well, and my next one is a Thursday night game. Because I only go to the night games because I, you know, I just stay at home and I watch all the games to write my column on Sundays. So I pick the night games. And I better enjoy it while I last because not only – so the next one I'm going to is Thursday night against Seattle, which they are going to lose by about 30, so I might not even attend that. And then the third one is a Sunday night game against the Bengals, which is when they can flex it. So if the Niners are 2-12, they're going to flex that game out of primetime, so I'm probably not going to be able to watch that. And if they finish 2-14, they're not going to get any home primetime games next year. So great, we spent this money on this personal seating license and not even be able to attend them for a while. But I guess that's probably for the better, watching this horrific product they're putting on the field.
Yeah, well, let's just make sure that our Hilton contest entry does not go the way of your personal seating license, okay? Let's make sure this is actually a good deal for us this week. Last game, Pittsburgh +3 at San Diego. I don't have a strong feel on this. I guess I would take San Diego, but I was very disappointed in how they played against the Browns.
Yeah, I'm taking San Diego. They've really shut down opposing wide receivers big time this year, so I don't love Antonio Brown to put up a big game with basically just Michael Vick. I know that was such a vanilla offense they ran against Baltimore in the short week. Now they have the full 10 days to prepare and get him a little bit more acclimated to that system. But I just think it's such a downgrade. And San Diego, yeah, they're unpredictable, and they certainly can't run block to save their lives. But still, like Philip Rivers puts up a lot of points against this. You know, Shazier is back for Pittsburgh, which would help, but still kind of a shaky defense. So agreed that I don't feel great about it, but I'm definitely taking the Chargers.
Yeah, okay. So how many can we settle on here? We're definitely settling on Cincinnati and the Giants. Those are two no-brainers, and it's funny that we both see it that way. I mean, you know, any spread game, there's got to be, you know, plenty of people on both sides, but those are kind of easy.
I was hoping you felt strongly about like two others, you know.
Okay, well, those are the ones I actually would have picked. The other one I kind of like is Philly.
Yeah, I marked Philly. That's only three I marked, though. That's the only other one I marked.
It's weird that we agree on these. It's so unusual.
Especially since we started out, I think you disagreed with my first four, but I wasn't felt strongly either way anyway. But
those are just small leans. I mean, I could do Washington. I'm not exactly excited about it.
Yeah, that's really going ugly, but yeah.
It's ugly. You know, it's one of those lines, and it's a little too clever, but it's like, it's too small, that line, which makes me like it. Just like Kansas City, I like because it's too big, right? Washington's too small, Kansas City's too big. It just feels like, you know, they know that they have to make the Washington line small for people. It's almost like they want you to take, you know, they kind of feel like everyone's going to take Atlanta. And they, I don't know. It just
Atlanta really can get ran on, by the way. And Washington I could see like Alfred Morris and Matt Jones having a sneaky, decent game.
That's right. I could see that too. I think Atlanta's D can be had. They've just, you know, they've kind of gotten by and they ran into a Texas team with bad quarterbacks.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if you can't defend the run when you jump up to 42-0 lead, you know, so.
Yeah. And I think Washington's D, I mean, D'Angelo Hall, I think he's still out, but their D hasn't been bad. They haven't been that bad this year. So I would take them. I would take KC. It's just ridiculous. It's a terrible value, but it just seems the way the setup is, I like.
You like KC probably a little bit more than the other 9.5, Green Bay?
Yeah, I don't like Green Bay at all because okay. I just think St. Louis with Gurley healthy and back might be decent. That's the only thing.
Let's do it. Let's go Washington and KC.
Okay, done. All right, we got all five.
Okay, I'm on
we
board.
We almost never solved that before we get started. All right, man. Well, appreciate it. We got to, you know, 4-1 is a minimum from here on in for at least 3-4 weeks.
Yeah, I'm feeling it, though.
All right.
I'm feeling a lot. Of course, there's no correlation, but I do like this better than the last
week's slate. I was like throwing darts. I really had no idea what I was doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do this. Let's quit messing around.
Yeah. Okay. This is for real. The first quarter was just sort of a practice for us. It's preseason.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, we're giving our competition a handicap, and we're going to start trying now.
All right. It's Dalton Del Don of Yahoo Sports. I'm Chris List. This is the East Coast Offense Podcast, Handicapping Edition, brought to you by Harrys.com. If you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support it, you can go to iTunes, rate the podcast, leave a comment, subscribe. And also, if you'd like to read the full Beating the Book column, you can go to rotowire.com/pod and get a free 10-day trial. Thanks for listening.